You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Do you guys have groupies? Is that what I just heard?
Unless you both have just girlfriends.
It's nice that they have such a good relationship with one another.
Yeah,
they know everybody.
I'm a serial dater and a serial eater.
And you usually... forget it. I'm not even going back to that infamous cheeseburger cereal incident. We don't need to touch on that anymore. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com. This segment of the program is brought to you by the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. Our newest sponsor here on the program. We're thrilled to welcome them aboard. The CGA Association of Manitoba is the largest, fastest growing, and most diverse accounting body in Manitoba. Did you know that CGAs are among the top 5% of income earners in Canada with an average yearly salary of $72,000 for new graduates? For more information, contact the CGA Association of Manitoba at cga-manitoba.org or give them a call at 204-477-1256. The Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba, we see more than numbers. Signing another one coming in right now. This is almost better than free agent day, I got to tell you guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
The Nashville Predators have re-signed or have extended defenseman Kevin Klein. 5 years, $14.5 million. He's in the final season of his contract. Klein is 27 years old. This contract will take him from the time he's, I guess, 28 through the time he's 33. What are your thoughts on Kevin Klein as a player?
Not bad years for defense in those years there. Maybe not his peak, but a little bit past it. But, you know, 5 years, you said it was, what was the exact number, Drew?
5 years, $14.5 million.
So you're paying him less than $3 million a year. You're going to hope that he's going to be your second pairing right side defenseman. He can move the puck a bit. I'm trying to remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure he's not the best skater. But, you know, moves the puck and play a top four role. They want him to play a top four role. They want him to play a top four role for less than $3 million a year, and they want to make sure they have some guys moving forward. So, you know, contracts like that are never going to kill you because they're not really enough money to kill you. And Poile knows what he's doing in terms of securing defensemen. Sometimes I wonder about his forward contracts, but the defense contracts, for the most part, he's done a good job of. So.
Right, and Nashville is obviously losing Ryan Suter, so Kevin Klein's role is going to increase a little bit. And, yeah, you're right, he's not going to... you know, become a top two defenseman, Richie. But, you know, he's solidified himself over the last 2 years in the playoffs. Obviously, they haven't gotten out of the second round, but he's a guy, when I think of Kevin Klein, he's a solid stay-at-home defenseman. He's not flashy offensively, even though, if you guys remember, he got that really nice goal this past playoffs end-to-end, and everyone roofed a top corner, I believe. Maybe we'll get Reem to link that if he can find it on YouTube or something. But Kevin Klein, you know, got a really nice goal. And everyone I remember at the time was saying, whoa, Kevin Klein can score. He can dangle. But the reality is he's been playing with a really good, solid group of defensemen, arguably the best group of defensemen in the entire league. And he's gotten better. So good for him. He gets a contract. And, you know, another guy, you know, to mention, Richie, that's going to be asked to do more, Ryan Ellis, a young defenseman on Nashville. So, I mean, even though they lost Ryan Suter, Nashville's still going to have a pretty good group of defensemen if you compare them to other teams in the Western Conference. So it's a pretty good signing for him. He deserves it.
Problem is you're going to be good in goal, and then you're going to be good in the back end, but not as good as you were last year because Ellis is a great offensive player, but he's a smaller guy and not great defensively. So the issue there is you can't replace Suter defensively, and if you can't replace Suter defensively and you can't score enough goals, you're going to be in trouble.
New Jersey Devils made some moves, sending Adam Henrique, Adam Larson, Matthias Tenenby, and Jakob Josefsson down to Albany of the AHL.
They're going to be a good team this year.
Edmonton Oilers sent Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Jordan Eberle down to Oklahoma City to play for their AHL team as well.
It's interesting to note, Drew, about that on that topic, that another guy that I believe Nugent-Hopkins still isn't 20 yet.
Right. Shifley, based on what I understand, the deal that the CHL made with the AHL and the NHLPA, based on what I understand, and don't quote this as gospel, but based on what I understand, if you played last year in the NHL and you're under the age of 20, you are eligible to play in the AHL this coming season.
That's an exemption.
Different than the exemption rule. Normally you're not allowed to. You normally have to be 20. So based on my understanding, that means the Jets would be able to send Mark Scheifele to the St. John's IceCaps to play for them this year.
Should be helpful.
Which would certainly
I think, you know, we haven't talked about Mark Scheifele in a while, I guess since that Canada-Russia challenge, but he's a guy that he, you know, he's too good now for the OHL. I mean, I think it's a good idea to give him a shot, and we'll see what the Jets decide to do. But it's good that he has that option.
The best part about it is you get to play him against NHL defensemen like Adam Larson and players like that without the NHL pressure.
Right.
That's right. It's just a way of, you know, you're sort of speeding up his development by a year where you normally wouldn't be able to do that.
I know you want to quickly get on to other signings, yeah. But it's a good year to be an AHL fan because you're going to have a lot of guys, 19-year-olds that are going to play, and then you're going to have a lot of guys like maybe Ivan Telligan, these other guys that may have made the NHL but are going to play in the AHL. So there's going to be a lot of NHLers, good NHLers in the AHL this year.
Shane Doan made his decision yesterday, finally. The longest summer intrigue that ended with no intrigue whatsoever. He re-signs in Phoenix, 4 years, $21.2 million.
It's an overpay.
Well, yeah, it's an overpay. But he was going to get, I bet you would have gotten more from Vancouver.
That's a good question. I mean, obviously, they have a hole there in their second line right wing they'd like to fill, but that's an overpay. I mean, Shane Doan's in the last few years of his career, he's not worth over $5 million a year.
Why has he signed a four-year deal? And I was talking about this with a guy at work yesterday. I said, based on the current
CBA... He's 35, too, right?
He's 38.
I think he's 36.
Okay.
36.
Maybe he's 38.
Probably 36, too.
He came into the NHL in 95. So what's 18 plus 18? 96. I think he's 36.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I thought that, you know, maybe...
Is he? Your dad's a mathematician, and so are you.
I thought, you know, maybe the Coyotes wanted to sign him to this four-year deal, and assuming he doesn't play all 4 years, because this way they can artificially, increase their salary cap.
Yeah, it's my article. Stay in my article.
Did you write that article?
I read about Berdur when they sign him to 2 years because they can take the, if they're that losing that much money, they can use that as a cap hit and not actually pay anybody.
Well, Richard, the reality is when you hang around with greatness long enough, it rubs off. The greatness rubs off.
So I'm great or he's great?
No, Richie's greatness is rubbing off on you. Oh. You're not great.
He's 35. He was born in 1976, so he'll be 36 next month in October.
Okay.
Check out the big brain on me.
Something. Forget it. Forget it. So he chooses Phoenix. You know, first of all, I'm sort of surprised that, again, there's more uncertainty in Phoenix because now the city of Glendale apparently is trying to renegotiate arena deal.
Just stop.
Again. It's not me who's doing it.
Stop.
Okay, we're not going to read the most recent Phoenix Business Journal article, are we?
No.
No, but the reality is, you know, just to get back to what you were saying about the Shane Doan contract and why 4 years, that's probably, you know, what he thinks is left in him, and that's probably realistic. If he would have signed I think a four-year contract's too long. I mean, he could have easily signed a two-year deal, but, you know, he is on the tail end of his career, and his best numbers are behind him. But, you know, even with that, Shane Doan has been an integral part of the Coyotes teams that have made the playoffs the last 2 years. You take Shane Doan off that roster, and I agree. If just looking at the salary, Richie, I mean, if you look at the stage he's at, his career and his production, what did he have, 55, 60 points last year?
50 points last year.
So he's probably a $3 or $4 million player, not a $6 million player. Right. But they're giving him the, you know, if you want to call it the Shane Doan appreciation contract.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly right. As a market value, probably would have put him at more like a four, if you want to stretch even to 4.5, not as much as he was getting, but he's getting that because of time put in. Yep. And they need to spend money on somebody.
Well, that's just it.
I mean, if you know, when you go to Glendale and you buy a coffee, you're paying for Shane Doan's salary.
speaking of the Vancouver Canucks, they obviously would have. They wanted to get Shane Doan very badly. They had a role for him. They did sign Alex Burrows a 4-year deal, $18 million contract extension. Burrows has 1 year remaining on his current contract.
You know, he's not a likable player in terms of the way he plays on the ice. He's likable in terms of the road he's taken to the NHL. But you look at his past few years, you say, oh, Alex Burrows, that much money, 28, 35, 26, 28 goals, has only missed 12 games over that last 4-year period. Actually only 13 games over the past 6-year period. He's reliable. He's fast. He can score. He can play in all situations. He can play with the Sedins.
Is there a butt coming?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a good contract.
No, I agree with Richie. Alex Burrows has taken a lot of... It's funny that we had Jack Edwards on talking to him about Brad Marchand, and now we're talking about Alex Burrows, the two guys I think epitomized that Stanley Cup final with their grittiness and the way they played. Both those guys get under each other's skin when they're playing, but more importantly, they get under other players' skin. It's a good contract. I mean, 4 years, he was obviously a Manitoba Moose formerly. He's been with the organization the entire time. 4 years, you're not signing him to a ridiculous 7 or 8 year contract. You're giving him about what a 55, 60-point player will get. And I think, you know, for a guy like Burrows, you're signing him because any other team would take Alexander Burrows.
Yep.
Anybody in the league would take a guy like that, and they know that, in, especially when it comes to playoff time, the Vancouver Canucks are no longer in the business of, you know, just trying to make the playoffs, or they're trying to win a Stanley Cup with the group they have. So, you know, getting Burrows for 4 years is a no-brainer. I think they've been probably working on that contract for a long time, and it was just, you know, a matter of, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
He's 30 years old now, and so you're going to get him through, what, his 35 year?
Yeah.
And then you take a look, if he's lost a step there in terms of his speed, that's obviously going to affect his effectiveness. But they obviously like what they have there, and I don't have an issue with it.
Richie, aren't the Burrows and Marchand and Lucic signings, are, you know, by Mike Gillis and Peter Chiarelli, aren't those perfect signings, logical signings?
Yeah, I think so. You got, you know, Gillis and Chiarelli are both smart men.
Good general managers making good signings. I mean,
keeping their own guys, familiar situations, all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. There's a comfort level between the teams and the players there, so it makes logical sense that those deals get done. Before we go to break, a reminder, coming up Monday afternoon here on the station, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., it is the Winnipeg Goldeyes Year in Review, the wrap-up show. The voice of the Winnipeg Goldeyes is going to be in studio, Paul Edmonds. He's going to be joined by Goldeyes players Amos Ramon and Matt Rush. Matt Rush, of course, was the winning pitcher yesterday. Yep. Amos Ramon, one of the co-MVPs of this Goldeyes championship team. General manager Andrew Collier is going to join them. Rick Forney, the coach of the Goldeyes, is going to join by phone. That's Monday afternoon, 1 to 3 here on TSN 1290. We will salute the 2012 American Association champion, Winnipeg Goldeyes. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. More signings to go through when we come back on TSN 1290. Seriously?
Come on, Drew. You're doing a dance here in studio.
Oh, you remember it.
Of course I remember it.
I think I'm going to throw up.
But Drew, this is a Bar Mitzvah song, but your Bar Mitzvah was in 64. This song wasn't out yet.
Wow, an old joke. That never happens on this program. Do you have the audio of the bus remix? Do you have the bus drop somewhere? No? Not queued up, ready to go? Okay. Anyways, we'll get to it later. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Tonight's this segment of the show is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. For a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight, Mark Forward is performing at Rumors. 7:45 show is sold out. There are some tickets remaining for the 10:30 show. You can give Rumors a call, get some tickets. 204-488-4520, or visit them online at rumorscomedyclub.com.
I look forward to that performance.
That's very good.
As with your performance today, you might be opening up.
He's actually done a good job today. I'd say as he's brought the goods so far.
Yeah,
you've been good.
I've done stand-up a few times, and let me tell you,
People sat down the entire time.
It was good.
People liked it. Richie came and supported me.
I came.
You were there.
It was at the place on Stradbrook.
Absolutely. Oh,
Sherbrooke.
That was at, but
the place on Sherbrooke.
It was two times, actually.
And the other one at the King's Head, I've been there.
Were you there?
I was there. I saw you perform stand-up.
Oh, no,
you were throwing vegetables at me. You had a whole
I was drinking heavily at the bar is what I think I was doing. Is that the bus sound clip?
See, that sounds like a bus.
I still think you need to say the bus is out of control or something along those lines. Anyways, Rumors Comedy Club tonight. Mark Forward is performing. Get your tickets and go check him out. Some more signings in the NHL. There's still another about 8 hours before people can they can still try and get some signings done by. Washington was a busy team. They signed John Carlson to a 6-year, $23.8 million extension.
I'm assuming I'm assuming a lot of these deals include bonus money.
Well,
so the players get paid before
the bonus money is guaranteed. Yeah. That's what they all want. They want the bonus money. That's why they all signed, largely, is to get the bonus money guaranteed up front right now, because that means they'll get paid and they can, you know, they don't have to worry about not getting paid during a lockout. Carlson, 6 years, $23.8 million. Troy Brouwer, 3 years, $11 million. We'll take the Carlson one first.
Yeah, it's a good contract. He's going to be a really good defenseman. I think they'll get value out of that deal. You know, George McPhee has had problems with the identity of that team, but his contract with Alzner last year was great value, and his contract with Carlson this year, I think, is good value. Brower's a whole other story. I mean, he seems a little bit overpaid there, but I do like what he's doing on the back end with those signings.
Yeah, well, Brouwer really, you know, improved his stock when he won the Cup with Chicago in 2010 and was a huge part of that third line. Andrew Ladd was on that third line in the playoffs. You remember Brouwer, but you know, yeah, the contract is fine. Again, these are intelligent contracts. I mean, John Carlson and you know, Richie made a good point, too. Carl Alzner is going to be a big part of their future. But, you know, John Carlson, you know, is an extremely good skater.
Great player.
Yeah. Very good draft pick. I think he was one of the last draft picks of the first round in 2008. Yeah. And, you know, he's been a good player in junior with the U.S. junior team, and then he won the Calder Cup with Hershey.
Yeah, they beat the Moose that year.
So, you know, he's, for a guy who I believe now has just turned 22, might be 23, the future looks very good for him. Very smart signing. You know, I think they got a bargain there. Again, just like they got a pretty good guy, 28th overall or 27th overall. I forget what it was. But, you know, they got a pretty good deal there when you consider you've got guys like Dennis Wiedemann. Nothing against Dennis Wiedemann, but he's making $5 or $6 million a year. So for Carlson to get, you know, $4-4.5 million a year, that's not bad.
Well, I mean, what you notice about most of the signings that have sort of happened in the last 24 hours is, you know, these are reasonable general managers giving out reasonable contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said, most of them, you know, we've gone through the terms and you say, okay, those are usually logical. They're relatively logical signings so far, as opposed to, you know, some of the contracts we saw handed out earlier in the year in July and whatnot, which were, let's say, less logical.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, this deadline here is not really as much of a deadline as much as they want to get paid and both sides want to get a deal out of this.
Well, these
Carlson can give you good value, or value. It's going to be close. You know, what is that? 4-year deal, right? It's Carlson. So it takes you to
Carlson's deal is 6 years.
Sorry, 6 years, excuse me. So what you're really doing is you're buying out a couple of years of UFA status there, and he's going to give you value, I think.
By the end of that contract, I mean, because it actually it's one of those contracts, it actually kicks in this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like one of the contracts, a lot of them have been, you know, there's one more year left on their current deal.
This is 3-year entry levels up.
This is, yes, exactly. This is a 6-year deal that'll take him.
He didn't play in his first year of eligibility, though. I think he's going into his third year, even though he signed that deal, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he's only played 2 years in the NHL, I think, full years.
Yes, that would be correct. Yeah. He played a couple. He played 20 games in 09-10, but you're right. He spent that first year, I guess, in the minors or where.
Yeah,
he played
in Hershey.
In the AHL. This is a 6-year deal. It's, you know,
22 games knocks him off the ELC. That's why.
That's right.
Entry level contract.
Right.
I mean.
So. 6-year deal. It's, you know, pays him just under $4 a year. You know, he'll be 20, you know, he'll only be 28, 29 when the deal's up.
They're going to get value because he's going to become a 45-point defenseman, in my opinion. And he can skate, move the puck. He can do a lot of things. He needs to improve it defensively a bit, but you also pair him with a guy like Alzner and he can cover up a bunch of those things and let him fly a bit.
Right. So when he's 25 years old, and like you said, you know, he could be a 45, 50-point guy, then you've got a guy who is already under contract for 2 years. So then you don't have to renegotiate his contract until he's 27. For the Caps.
With Brower, I mean, that's a question is what exactly you're paying for, right?
Well, Brower's a guy who's going to top out at 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he had in 09-10 with the Blackhawks. He had, you know, 78 games, 40 points, 22 goals, 18 assists. And he's been 17 goals. He's been 18 goals. So, you know, he's in and around the 20-goal mark each year. But, you know, that's pretty much his ceiling. He's not going to improve on that.
Back to the point again about the middle guys keep getting more and the top guys are staying the same.
Well, that's just it. You know, what is
3.6 million bucks for Troy Brower? I don't know. I just think that's a little bit high.
The guys,
it is, but I mean, it's high, but it's not really high in context to the, you know, that's what players of his caliber seem to be getting. So it's high on the overall concept that players of that nature shouldn't be getting that much, but it's somewhat in line with, you know, other contracts signed by similar players.
I think the point that sticks with me that Richie made is that the identity of this team is crystallizing. It's starting to get better with Adam Oates is now coming in as the coach, obviously replacing Dale Hunter.
Which is weird, but because Brower would be more useful in a Hunter system than he would in an Oates system.
Sure, but the thing is, I think that you're Washington is still going to revolve around speed and obviously offense and less so of that defensive hockey that Hunter brought in, but you know, there's still guys on this team that are going to play useful roles, such as Brooks Like, the captain, and then Troy Brower, he wears an A. So, yeah, sure, he's not going to, you know, provide a primary scoring role, but really he's part of that kind of gritty leadership aspect of this team that they were kind of, you know, they got rid of Semin. Now they're starting to sign some of these core guys. All the moves that were made last year, they didn't work out with, you know, Hamrlik and you know, all these guys. So, sure, he might be getting paid a little bit more.
Is he playing in your top six for a team that Adam Oates coaching?
No.
Probably not. And if he's not playing in your top six, then the question is, are you paying $3.6 million for a third liner?
They are.
Yeah, he's not playing center.
That's exactly what they're doing.
He's not playing center. I mean, you should hopefully have better options on the power play.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
No argument. You're not wrong. Just going back to players assigned to the AHL today. Missed this one earlier. Jeff Skinner. He'll be the wealthiest player in the AHL this year. He had signed a six-year, $34.35 million contract. He's now going to play in the AHL for this coming season or until the lockout is settled.
Right, and that means that Jeff Skinner now has signed himself up for two, possibly 3 months, whatever, of paying for every single meal.
Well, no, but he's not getting the money.
He doesn't get the money. He only gets the signing bonus. But do you think that these guys should be able to play in the AHL?
Yeah, why not?
I'm just asking. I mean, obviously, there's a huge talent disparity there between...
He's taking a job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but...
No, I don't have a problem if he's... I have a problem with the guys who go overseas and take a job.
Because those guys think they're insulated from people taking their jobs?
If players that were playing over in Europe, you know, say this lockout goes on and on and on, and the NHL decides to restart with scab players, you know, it happened in baseball in 94, right? And scab, how dare you guys come over here and try and make a living. But it's okay for the NHL players to go to Europe and take jobs from those players?
Well, the reality is, though, if you look at Malkin or Gonchar, who are going to play with Magnitogorsk, apparently, this week.
Semin's going to play with Lokomotiv.
Semin's going to... I mean, the general managers of these hockey teams are signing these guys. So, I mean, they're making the decision. You can't fault the players. They're talented, and the general managers are giving them a chance.
Because, I don't think we're ever going
to
see
these
hockey.
Guys played poorly, they'd be sent to the AHL anyways, in theory.
Yeah, that I'm not having as big of a problem with. I'm talking about going overseas and taking jobs from players in Europe. Because you know that the players would be screaming about how dare you cross the picket line if they ever tried to start up play hockey with scab players.
I respect your opinion, but you're saying, they're taking jobs, and they might
they
very
are.
Well be, but... They're being given a job as well. So it's not like their agent is creating a job, but the general manager is offering that job. So, I mean, they're taking it.
Admittedly, it goes both ways. And from a fan perspective, though, you get to see players you'd never get to see before.
Right. But I'm just, I mean, that's my point of the situation is that they would be screaming bloody murder if the shoe was on the other foot.
Right. And that's why I don't disagree with you, but I'm playing the devil's advocate a little bit because it happened in 2004. The set of circumstances was completely different, and you had the Rick Nashes and Jason Spezza. Well, Jason Spezza was in the AHL, but you had guys like Rick Nash and Joe Thornton going over and playing in Switzerland, and people were all over. There was guys that were playing in the Finnish league, the Russian league, the Swedish league. Some guys were playing in two leagues at once.
I wonder if they can actually win in the playoffs.
Let's go to break. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com. The Winnipeg Jets have just gotten, is that a word?
Sounds a word.
Yeah. In on the action of sending players down to the AHL. They have just announced the following 13 players have been assigned to the St. John's Ice Caps. Alex Burmistrov, Chris Carozzi, Ben Chero, Patrice Cormier, Jason Gregoire, Carl Klingberg, Julian Melchiori, Eric Odell, Will O'Neill, Edward Pasquale, Zach Redmond, Cody Soule, and Ivan Telegan. Also, most importantly, the Winnipeg Jets have assigned Mark Scheifele to the Barry Colts of the Ontario Hockey League.
That's interesting, and that news just came out. It's interesting to note as well that, obviously, Alexander Burmistrov is the only everyday NHLer that was included in that list. Obviously, Ivan Telegan played for the Barry Colts last year, so we knew that he was probably going to start in the AHL anyways. But all of those guys, the biggest maybe surprise name is Burmistrov, but it's not a surprise in the sense that he wants to play hockey. It's better that he's going to be playing in St. John's, rather than Russia. So a little bit surprised that Scheifele wasn't assigned, but I guess there's a chance that they could still assign him. But if he's going to start the season in Barrie, he might also finish the season in Barrie.
Burmistrov, they probably wanted to send down last year. This is an easy way for them to do it. He needs to develop his game. I hope they play him in an offensive role and allow him to flourish. That would be
get him some confidence.
Yeah, get him some confidence. Maybe he plays with Telegan. I mean, that might be a good combination. Both Barry guys, Russian guys.
Yep.
Maybe there's a little bit of security there. It seems like Burmistrov played better last year with Antropov as Kazakhstan, but yep. a little bit more familiarity. In terms of everybody else, that's all, you know, run the mill. And Shifley, they probably want him to dominate that level. I mean, he hasn't necessarily dominated. It gives him another shot at the World Juniors.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be important. Last year, he struggled at the World Juniors. Let's see what he does this year. I'm fine with that. I would have been fine with it either way, but I can see the rationale for sure.
I mean, Burmistrov was the question, was the most interesting, because there's some talk of whether he'd go play in Russia.
But he said he's going to go wherever.
Wherever. He was going to sit down with Chevy, and they were going to discuss. And, I mean, you know, so he's... And if you're the Jets, I think you want him in St. John's, where you can keep him under your watchful eye. You know, you keep him under your organization's hand. You make sure that his development is progressing in the manner in which you want, as opposed to whatever's going on in, you know, I guess it was Akbar's in the KHL, because, you know, you have no control over that, and, you have no desire to see him, fall back in love with, with the KHL team. Yeah. So this makes sense. Keep him there. You might as well. He was the only guy that was really AHL eligible that was on the roster last year. And this could be the... a turning point for his career. This could be what he's looking for, because, he was obviously rushed into the NHL too soon. Mm-hmm. So maybe he takes a step down without it being a demotion, because there's no demotion here.
Right.
Now, the lockout, one of the few pauses from the lockout last time around, was to allow guys like Getzlaff and Perry and other guys to gain a ton of confidence in a year of development with really no pressure, as I said earlier. So there's very little that can go bad in terms of Burmistrov going down there this year.
Right, and you have to almost think the unfortunate thing is that the Jets don't have more guys that they could send down to the AHL, because, I mean, Patrice Cormier is another guy. He was most likely going to start the year in the AHL and call him up. Same thing with Spencer Mihajlovic, who we mentioned earlier. And, there's these other guys, and I mean, these are also guys that are top prospects in the Jet system, the Jason Gregoires, the Carl Klingbergs. Those guys would have been in the AHL regardless, but now they're going to be playing with guys who would have been playing in the NHL against guys, higher competition. So, it's good news for Jets fans that Burmistrov is going to be playing in St. John's, and then there's a small chance that Shifley at some point might be as well. They could do the same thing when Shifley's junior season is over. He could join the team towards the end of the season and play in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just gives the team a lot of flexibility. But so we've been waiting for that. The Jets, a lot of teams started doing this a couple days ago. The Jets waited until today to do it. But there you have it, the big news. Mark Shifley assigned to the Barry Colts of the OHL, and Alex Burmistrov signed to the AHL, the St. John's Ice Caps, along with 12 other players, most of whom spent last year with the Ice Caps.
Yep.
Some more signings. I mean, it's been, I'll tell you what, we're sort of joking about how we're going to fill the time during a lockout when there's not a lot of hockey going on. But this week, there were so many signings, it was a no-brainer at that point in time.
Yep.
Dallas Stars, this one was an interesting one. Kari Lehtinen signs a contract extension in Dallas. 5 years, $29.5 million, just under $6 million a year. Kari Lehtinen's a guy I like, but that's a pretty hefty ticket.
Well, the odd thing is, a five-year deal for a goaltender who has, generally speaking, had injury issues in the past, talent-wise, has never been a question. He's a supremely talented player. His injury history is obviously checkered, never mind the fact that this team spent a first-round pick on Jack Campbell. So you're going to spend a first-round pick on a goaltender in 2 years, and now you've got this guy locked up for 5 years. I mean, is Jack Campbell's window in the sixth year? I mean, you could always trade a guy.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like it was an odd contract. And a five-year deal for a goaltender when they're pretty unpredictable, it was... the talent isn't an issue. If he stays healthy, then he could be great. But there's so many risk factors. The long-term deal, a fair amount of money for a guy who doesn't always stay healthy and doesn't always play a full season. They have money to spend, but it was an odd deal. Maybe that also says a fair amount of what they think of Campbell moving forward.
Well, yeah. Joe, what's happening there? I mean, Joe Nieuwendyk is signing Kari Lehtinen because he gave them a solid season, and they haven't had a goalie to replace Marty Turco yet. And they brought him in to be the guy. It was Belfour, then Turco, and now Kari Lehtinen. And they're giving him, they're saying that we believe in you enough to give you a long-term contract based on 1 year, even though we know that you've had the injury problems. We know that it never worked out with the Atlanta Thrashers. You only gave flashes of your potential in Atlanta. And that's the risk that they're taking. And I would have to say that the risk is high, and that maybe means that it probably wasn't the best move. But again, you haven't had solid goaltending there, and they don't want that to be an issue this year. Because again, the Dallas Stars, you know, they've made some moves, and we had Mike Hyka of the Dallas Morning News. We had Frank Provenzano on, assistant GM. You know, we all agreed that the moves they made were pretty good. But, again, moving forward, is that your guy? And is he going to lead you to...
He better be.
is he going to lead you to Stanley Cup?
It's really about his, you know, if he stays healthy. Because talent-wise, he's there, guys.
Well,
he's big, he's quick, he can do everything.
He had his best year, year last year. He had a .922 save percentage, which most teams will take gladly.
Oh, 100%.
Goals against average of 2.33.
Yep.
And he's awesome.
Yeah. And Dallas was a bad team last year, so that should be...
You give him 3 years and you say, okay, let's see. And then if he really is good, then you give him a little more maybe.
Right. Yeah. So 6 years, that's a pretty big risk.
It's just a big, I mean, it's the, well, I mean, you look at he now makes more than Mika Kiprusov. Granted, they're at different points in their career, but he makes $100,000 less than Nicklas Backstrom does on a regular basis.
The contracts, you have to take it a little bit with a grain of salt, but, all right, Kari Lehtinen has had one full good year, really. He had some decent numbers at
when
for
he plays,
spurts,
he's good.
But you're giving him a 6-year deal
that's
for Mika Kiprusov money. Based on 1 year.
A lot of years.
So, I mean, again, you have to think, are the owners really thinking clearly? Again, like Richie said, and we've talked about how a 1-year contract is never a bad thing, but, you know, look what happened with Roberto Luongo. Very quickly, it became apparent that Corey Schneider was going to be their guy. 6 years is a long time and a lot of money to lock up in a guy that has that high of a risk.
Couple signings by the Detroit Red Wings. They got in on the action as well. Mm-hmm. Justin Abdelkader gets a 4-year, $7.2 million contract, 25 years old. And Carlo Koliakovo, he was a UFA. The only one of these guys who's actually UFA. Carlo Koliakovo gets a 2-year, $5 million deal. Let's start with the Koliakovo one first.
We talked about this, Drew. You know, he'll go to Detroit if he cuts down his 3-year demand. And he cut down his 3-year demand and he give it 2 years. Again, another guy with health issues in terms of injuries in the past. He can skate and move the puck, and Detroit likes that, and their forwards need that. He's a really good fit. I think he's going to flourish there, but he needs to stay healthy to really take the next step.
I really like Carlo Koliakovo. I've liked him since his time on Toronto, and I thought he was a little bit underrated on St. Louis last year. Remember, St. Louis, you know, had the 107-point season or whatever. Everyone was talking about Alex Pietrangelo and all that. Carlo Koliakovo was also a big part of it, even though he missed 20 games. But I like his game, Richie. I agree with you. I mean, that's what they need there. And, you know, if anybody thinks for even half of a second that he's in any way replacing, you know, Nicklas Lidström or Brad Stewart, he's not. But, you know, that's based on the market and what they've got in the system. You know, that was a terrific signing. And he instantly gives them a veteran presence and all that and solidifies.
He's young enough to still turn into something more.
Yep.
And you know, we sort of expect it now that if any team is going to turn a player around and, you know, sort of improve their game,
well,
it's the Detroit Red Wings.
It's similar, and you can analogize it to the Ian White deal.
Yeah, that's right.
Ian White didn't necessarily work out as well as they had wanted him to, but Koliakovo, a little bigger. I think there's some things there that they think he can provide that maybe White can't, but they have both of them, and they can both move the puck.
What about the Justin Abdelkader deal?
I mean, you're paying a guy less than $2 million a year. That's less than the league average. And a guy you can play in your fourth line, you can play center, can play wing, can move up, can skate.
Abdelkader's always been a guy that he started off like a lot of guys do. Darren Helm, everyone knows, is from St. Andrews, Manitoba. A lot of these guys that maybe wouldn't be given a chance, and kind of speedier guy, a very Detroit guy, but he's a guy that, to me, that he doesn't have the best shot, and he's kind of struggled, and he's probably going to be more of a guy that's probably going to have to take on a two-way role.
Oh yeah,
because he was a scorer in other levels and he hasn't translated. So
it's like Roy McGregor said in his article today. If you're a fourth line player, you're getting paid around $2 million to ensure that nothing happens on the ice.
That's a great point.
When you're on the ice,
sure.
And that, I thought that was the best line in a terrific
it's a funny
article.
Line.
Is that and that's
yep.
true. That's a fourth
it's
line.
Kind of like what my role was on the Carl's hockey team.
We want you to play.
Richie was getting the hat tricks, and I was just on the ice with Richie, making sure that I didn't get in Richie's way.
You had a great plus minus though. Were you Richard's enforcer?
I was.
Were you the McSorley to Richard Gretzky?
You mean Dave Semenko?
Yeah, sorry. This is Semenko.
McSorley.
Yeah.
It's both of them.
Richie can take care
of
himself. Yeah, I was there to make sure nobody messed with Richie.
Way to give 110%.
Before we go to break, this quote from Bill Daly, in case anybody was thinking there's going to be an 11th hour miracle that's going to prevent this lockout. Quote from Bill Daly as told to Pierre LeBrun, "We talked with the union this morning, and in light of the fact that they have nothing new to offer or any substantive response to our last proposal, there would be nothing gained by convening a bargaining session at this time. I'm sure that we will remain in contact in the coming days."
So that's basically a lawyer speaking in lawyer speak, a long-winded way to say no.
Fair enough. And you know what the best part of it? Somehow you just got billed for that, Ezzy. I don't know how Richie managed to bill you for that. I don't know how that worked.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
You want to sing?
You know the words, Drew?
I know this is growing up or something. Yeah.
It's about Monday, too.
Yeah.
About me.
That's about
argue. Hold it against you.
Nicely done, Richie. I'm impressed. I didn't realize you had such musical chops.
I'm actually going to be on American Idol. Canadian Idol.
Canadian Idol?
Winnipeg Idol. I'm just going to be Idol, period.
What are you talking about?
Idol, I-D-L-E.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com.
NHL news and notes.
Let's start in the city of Edmonton, where this, I'll tell you what, these arena negotiations just go on and on and on and on. Daryl Cates, who's probably one of the wealthiest owners in the NHL, has gone back hat in hand to the city council in Edmonton, asking for more money to help build arena.
Stop. It's enough. It's enough, Daryl.
I mean, that wasn't a sound effect. That was actually Drew's personal cash.
That was Drew's wallet, yeah.
Every time I open it, it just goes.
I just don't understand why these arenas need to be so extravagant. See the pictures of this new arena? It's nuts. Just take it easy, Daryl. Or put a little bit more of your own money into this. You're going to be the one making all the money.
Yeah. We want you to build me an arena. I mean, I love the hypocrisy. Build me an arena, but you cannot have any of the revenue. I get all the revenue.
And if you have an arena that's half as nice in the same area, it'll still make all the businesses the same amount of money.
Well, you know,
The MTS Center, it's not exactly...
The MTS Center cost... You know, what did it cost? $180 million?
$130 million.
There's no moat.
Yeah.
There's no moat.
Brings people downtown. People like the place. Good sight lines.
When the MTS
sound
Center
for
came
concerts.
Out, when it came out, everyone's reaction was mixed, even though everyone here thought it was a great idea. And it wasn't just mixed because of the location. It was the size. People complained it's not going to be big enough if the NHL ever comes back. I'd like to hear one person right now say that they're saying the same thing now.
Never mind
it's a perfect arena.
Never
mind the MTS Center is a great arena.
Never mind the location of it or anything like that. But at any point when you're in the MTS Center, do you feel as though this arena doesn't suit your needs or it's not posh enough for you?
In fact, even though it's not an extravagant in that it doesn't have a moat, it's considered for concerts an amazing venue because of the acoustics and the sound. It's very well known for being extremely good for concerts.
Here's what people want when they want to go to their new arena. They want it to be easily accessible.
Yep.
They want it to have decent concessions. They want it to have good acoustics. And they want it to have a good, you know, jumbotron video screen, whatever.
Right.
They don't really care if the... you know, linoleum, you know, is pure grade linoleum or if it's, you know, a little bit secondary. They don't care about what the flooring is made of. Put it in there, get it built, make sure it's nice for everything I'm worried about. That's all they want. They don't care about any of the other stuff. Edmonton, with all due respect to the city of Edmonton, has no reason to need a $400 million arena.
Nope.
It's just a ridiculous dollar figure.
Three quarters of that price. And that's where it looks like they're, I mean...
Even if you factor in inflation between what they built the MTS Center for, you know, I guess how many years ago would that be now? 8 years ago. Even if you factor in inflation, it's still less than, you know, what they're trying to build, the ridiculousness that there is going on in Quebec City and with the Oilers in Edmonton.
No, the reality is, regardless if you're in Edmonton or New York, $200 to $300 million will build you a really nice hockey arena. And in Edmonton, it looks like they're not caving, and so they're going to have to change the plans. But, I mean, I hope that they're not going to, you know, delay it too long because of certain amenities.
Well, the wind.
Yeah.
Well, they're not building yet, sorry.
The wind? Yeah, oh, you're talking about, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I know.
But... It's ridiculous. Build the stadium. Build the arena. Just get it done, at the price that it's going to cost you to make it nice. It doesn't have to be extravagant because, you know, when's the last time you brought tourists down to look at your marvelous arena?
You know, Glendale's supposed to be a nice arena. I've been to Anaheim, whatever it's called now, Pond, whatever it's called.
Honda Center.
That's a nice arena. And think about it. Does it bring people there?
No.
The quality of the play does. The location, right. Things like that. So take it easy.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's speaking of Phoenix, God bless him. I mean, you know.
Are we talking about Phoenix?
I'm sorry.
Boring.
I'm sorry. But, you know.
It's true.
It's amazing that this is still ongoing. Now the city manager of Glendale wants to revisit the deal they've already cut with Greg Jameson. It's not officially signed, but you know, he's supposedly secured the funds to buy the team. And now Glendale city manager Horatio Skeet wants to change
the name. That's a household name. Saturday Night Live?
It's a household name. Horatio Sands.
Yeah. This is Horatio Skeet.
Okay.
Wants to change the terms of the $300 million 20-year arena payment plan.
All right. Stop before I throw up.
It's just...
I couldn't say it better myself.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, at what point in time do they give up?
Well, Greg Jameson isn't putting any of his own money
in. Of course.
No, of course not.
So I don't understand. I might as well be the new owner of the team. They're giving this guy the sweetest arena deal ever. You know,
Can they pick up the Glendale Arena and it's like, you know, those mobile homes and just move it to Edmonton?
Yeah, that would make sense. That'd save him, you know.
That's funny.
What is it?
Give them the Northlands Coliseum.
I mean, it's true, though. I mean, it's amazing that we're still discussing this. It seems to never end.
By the way, I don't think this deal is getting done.
I don't think this deal is getting done either.
I think people are...
The deal is not done.
I still don't... Okay, in this whole thing, somebody needs to put some money up here.
Time is running out.
Nobody's putting any money up here. And why would you? Why would you? And all we keep hearing about is, oh, the deal's about to come. The deal... Okay, for sure. And that deal that was supposed to come, and then they've mentioned that Ice Edge...
Yeah, the Ice Edge guys are investors.
These Ice Edge guys.
Which actually,
these Ice Edge guys might be the, you know, bigger clowns than we are.
And Gary Bettman is running the list. This is the guy we're going to trust with our negotiations.
Ice Edge.
We haven't given up.
Yeah, Ice Edge.
Time is running out.
Yeah, I'm really confident Ice Edge is going to, you know, get this deal going here.
Last one, or actually we'll do two more. Roberto Luongo, that saga continues. You know, GM Mike Gillis was at the Canucks charity golf tournament, met with the media, says that the Canucks do not have fire sales.
What does that mean?
I think it means they're not going to give them away for 10 cents on the dollar.
Keep $10 million in goalies on the roster. When you need a forward, like a Shane Doan, you don't have the money, you need to trade him. And when you're trying to trade a contract that's long and that much money, you will get nothing. Not Nick Bjugstad, not other guys, you will get nothing.
I think Mike Gillis has dropped the ball here. He's got to get rid of Luongo.
Get rid of the contract.
There's a few teams that will take him. Florida probably being the one that wants him the most.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Give him away for nothing.
But we have.
It's like baseball.
Yeah.
You give away Beckett, Adrian Gonzalez, and, you know, who am I forgetting? Carl Crawford. And what do? They give him a little bit of prospects, but not great prospects. But you have to, you essentially take the.
It's a salary dump.
Yes.
Addition by subtraction.
You just get rid of the guy and you don't expect to get anything back in return. I mean,
so they lose a salary, and they have Corey Schneider, who's a better goalie at this point in his career anyway. So they're not going to get what they think they're going to get, I think, for Roberto Luongo.
He goes asking for like one of the best Florida prospects.
We had Bill Lindsay on last week.
Yep.
Florida Panthers broadcast. Thank you. Yeah. Florida Panthers broadcast.
That was all right.
And
it was good.
You look at the Panthers team, and there's absolutely no reason why they should trade for Roberto Luongo.
Of course, I agree.
Given his contract and everything else, with Markstrom in the system, there's no reason why they should trade for him. Even if they don't, it doesn't cost them anything. It's still more problematic to have him on your team than not.
He wants one of the best prospects, defenseman, of Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what he wants is great. What I want, it doesn't necessarily mean it comes true at any point.
You want a cheeseburger right now, and there's no burgers in the studio.
Exactly. I'm upset, but I go on with it. Although, Ezzy somehow manages to have a cheeseburger right now, which is just odd. You know, so if you're the Florida Panthers, why would you even consider making that deal?
Well, my thinking would be for Dale Tallon, Markstrom is a good goalie. I don't think he's ready to play 60 games in the NHL
yet.
But he probably will be in a few years.
We're commenting on the fact that we thought he was, you know, Florida was interested, and maybe they are. But the problem with that is maybe he fills your spot when Markstrom's not ready, but that's for the next 10 years.
That's right. Markstrom might be ready. He might not be ready this year.
He's a couple years away.
Well, if he's 2 years away, that's great. Luongo's got a 10-year deal.
Right. And that's why Florida and Toronto, there might only be a couple teams, Chicago. I don't even know if Chicago wants that, but Chicago would probably make more sense. Chicago would make more sense, actually.
The thing about him is, well, exactly, because right now you're in your mode of trying to win the next few years, and he's a great goalie. So if you want to get him in and win and worry about it later, a little bit different. I mean, no doubt about it, he'd make Florida better next year. No doubt about it.
It doesn't matter to me.
He doesn't make Vancouver any better. I mean, for the backup games he's going to be playing or splitting time, it's not going to make them any better. It's going to cost him a heck of a lot of money for those wins that he gets. Doesn't make sense. Mike Gillis knows that. He's overplayed his hand, I guess, and he's going to have to go and give him away eventually.
I think he's saying that, and that's
who's
fine.
Who's he going to give him to, though?
There's less than a half dozen teams.
If you're Chicago,
there's less than three teams.
If you're Chicago and you're coming in, and you've got Kane and Taves and these guys in the prime and Hossa.
They need a goalie.
A few years left, and you want to just say, okay, with Hossa and with Kane, Hossa and with Luongo, we're going to ride these guys the last few good years of their contracts and of their careers, and we'll worry about it later. We want to win.
Maybe Richie, if Stan Bowman offered Mike Gillis a second round pick, I would take it for Luongo.
No, for sure. You take anything like that for Luongo, for sure.
I don't know what he's thinking. To be honest, it doesn't
matter.
You
get Tornadoes to Winnipeg.
It doesn't matter what Luongo says. It doesn't matter what Gillis says. The reality is it doesn't help anybody by having a guy under contract for 10 years, arguably a Hall of Fame goaltender in Roberto Luongo, sitting on the bench. So I don't know. It doesn't matter if he says we're not going to have a fire sale. The reality is you got to deal with it. And sure, there's a lockout coming up, but whether you trade him now or in 3 months, he's not ever going to be your number one goalie because you can't go back now. You've already given Schneider the net, right?
Yeah.
So,
last one before we go to break. The arbitrator has confirmed he's upheld the trade of Lubomir Vyshnovsky to the New York Islanders from the Anaheim Ducks. There was a grievance filed by Vyshnovsky claiming his no-trade clause was still valid. Arbitrator said no, so Vyshnovsky is going to be joining officially the New York Islanders, maybe, whenever that happens.
I actually think, in terms of the play, I don't think players care. Players say, you know, take care of yourself first. So I don't think it's going to be an adverse response in the locker room. In terms of the management, they'll probably hate him, but whatever.
Yeah,
if he plays well for them, they'll like him.
I mean, some nice puck movers back there. Nice Travis Hamonic. It's a really underrated defenseman. Mark Streiten, a little bit of Mary Vyshnovsky can certainly quarterback a power play. So that should be a good power play next year.
Yeah. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
Drew Matthews.
Yeah.
Drew's many times. Drew's too much.
Didn't you go to Chicago to see him also?
No, Toronto.
Toronto, sorry. It's hard to keep track.
Awesome.
You're a world traveler. You're able to see concerts. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Another 23 or so minutes left in this fine program. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Subscribe and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. You know, we've been talking about the owners and the players and, you know, some of the support staff that this lockout affects. We don't go unscathed through the lockout also, so we're pleased to introduce a new service on Illegal Curve Hockey, the Ezzie Ginsberg Babysitting Service.
That's right.
You had your first client yesterday, Ezzie. How'd the babysitting go with your nephew yesterday?
Yeah, it's funny.
I interviewed your nephew.
No, I babysat my nephew Hunter. You know, special hi to Hunter, my three-year-old nephew. My sister and brother-in-law were at a wedding. It went pretty well. And I actually had to change my first ever diaper. And it's not that hard, actually.
Good.
It took me a little longer than I thought it was going to take. And for the most part, I think I was, I mean, I...
Isn't there also a dog and three cats, though?
Yeah, and I had to lock up the cats because I'm allergic to cats.
But you made it through the evening unscathed?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it went pretty well.
What about the dog?
It went, well...
You did okay, is what you're saying.
Are you
going to get another call up to babysit again?
I've babysat my nephew before, but this was kind of like my first long. I was there the whole night. So
did
it was
they pay you like, you know, when we were like grade 6-7? They pay like $6-7 an hour.
They
paid him in popsicles.
They basically gave me, you know, unlimited access to the fridge. So.
They lost on that one, let me tell you.
Yeah, that was priceless.
Interesting article in the Globe and Mail this week by Sean Gordon.
About it, as he's babysitting.
Yeah. No, not about as he's babysitting, but frequent guest of the program, Sean Gordon, the Globe and Mail. You know, we were talking about way back at the beginning of this program about how only Gary Bettman speaks for the owners.
Yep.
And that's it. And it's interesting because this is an article about the sort of ideological bent, mm-hmm. you know, the politics of the different owners in the NHL. And there's a fair number of them who are, you know, staunch Republicans, as you would expect.
I'd say they're a little more right-leaning than the common person.
Well, yeah. That's right. I mean, but as you would expect from most, you know, billionaires, they generally tend to be on the Republican side. There are some Democrats there. I mean, the politics of the Canadian owners was far less well-known than of the American owners. But you know, a guy like Ted Leonsis is has been well established as sort of a left leaning owner.
Right.
He's the owner of the Washington Capitals. You know, so it's interesting how you know when you have people with differing views, as you often do with owners, especially when it comes to politics. It's another good move by Gary Bettman to immediately prevent them from saying anything on the record at all. Don't talk. We don't. You know, you might be pro union. You might be anti union. In the large sense of the word, but it's to no benefit of the NHL to have their different owners out there speaking publicly on this issue when first and foremost unity is one of the most important things they have going for them.
Right, and I think this article was fascinating actually, and I think we mentioned I think it was Jeff Klein that did another article similar to this, if I'm not mistaken, in the New York Times.
Yeah, I think so.
And it was about political leanings and this type of subject matter. And I think it is definitely something that needs to creep into this, especially when you have the 2012 presidential election happening. You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or you know, belong to the Conservative Party, Liberal Party, NDP, I mean, that is something that needs to be considered. You know, I'm of the belief that not if owners were allowed to make their voice, you know, heard in maybe in the public eye, I don't know if all of them would want a lockout. I think that some of the owners do have to toe the line.
Well, it's like,
I think that the lockout does definitely benefit certain owners over others. I don't think that necessarily a Winnipeg or a Calgary or an Ottawa necessarily is as for a lockout as the New Yorks, the Bostons, the Philadelphias. I truly believe that. I don't think they all necessarily want a lockout.
I think the top 10 revenue teams in this league would be happy to not have a lockout.
Right.
More than that.
Yeah, probably
top 15.
Yeah. You know,
you've still got 15 other
owners. And that's
owners.
The problem. This is a lockout for the teams
I read that article, remember?
Yeah.
They're letting the people who aren't making any money are deciding what the people who are making money are going to do.
That's right, because, I mean...
Mean that they both can't make money through the solution, but it's just different scales.
And
now, Drew, I mean,
yeah,
there are some
they
staunch
cater to
right-wingers.
The bottom.
I mean, Craig Leopold, they mentioned, you know, a Tea Partier. So, I mean, you have some more far right-leaning guys, and I think overall, as you said, they're going to be more right-leaning. But it is interesting to see the politics behind it, and there are divergent views within the ownership group.
Yeah, Ed Snyder, another Tea Partier.
Larry Brooks wrote about it, some quote that something about the righteousness of being selfish or something like that.
Well,
that,
I mean,
that Snyder had quoted before. I think we can see by Snyder's signings and as compared to the demands of the owners, there's a little bit of selfish leaning there.
Yeah, and you know, Ed Snyder's been pretty clear about that based on his actions. He doesn't care about anybody but himself. Jeremy Jacobs, who's one of the biggest hawks, you know, supposedly that you know in Gary as
Democrat,
an owner.
Right?
What's that?
The Democrat? Isn't he Democrat?
That's
Sean Wright's, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'll check that out. But, I mean, Jeremy Jacobs is, you know, he goes out and just only worries about his own Bruins, and that's sort of what he should do. Why should he worry about any of these other teams?
Talk about that's a problem, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a longtime Democratic donor, you're right. Mm-hmm. And these guys, I mean, they try and present a unified front, and then they go do so many things that make it seem like they're not unified, but they don't talk about it publicly.
Exactly.
The difference is you have guys out on Twitter, like, you know, Paul Bissonnette, you know, when I'm taking financial advice from Paul Bissonnette, you know, you're a hockey player. Stick with what you know. I mean, and there are some well-articulated, intelligent players. With all due respect, I don't think that Paul Bissonnette should be your leading voice out there. You know, if you're not gonna make Donald Fehr the only guy speaking publicly on the record, then you should only assign a limited number of guys who can speak.
The player reps or something.
See, I blame that on. I don't like to blame social media because I love social media. I think it's fantastic that we live in a day and age of the social media. But in 2004, you wouldn't hear as much of this. I think that's what it is. I think Paul Bissonnette and Brent Sopel are tweeting, and then someone retweets it, and then someone writes an article about a tweet.
That's right.
The first time,
you know, when you put something, these guys all get their speeches at the beginning of the year. Their PR directors give them the same stuff. When you write something on Twitter, it's out in the public, and you're never going to get it back.
The first time,
and they do it anyways.
Yeah.
They do it anyways.
Exactly. They're from the newsroom.
That's exactly it, though. Once it's out, it's out, and everybody's going to see it. And so I'd rather see that than the tweets that Brent Sobel puts out. But in any event, once you put it out there, it's out there. And so don't try and be impulsive and try and gather support off from people on Twitter, because that's what it is. I mean, Twitter really is just that.
The first time, though, a player speaks out, however it's interpreted. First of all, I mean, when you're writing in 140 characters, by the way, it's easy to misinterpret what somebody actually wanted to say. But the first time somebody speaks out and it seems to be a little bit anti-players. First time a player says something like, we really need to get back to the bargaining table or something, you don't think it's going to explode huge. It's going to be made, a huge deal is going to be made of it. The players are beginning to fracture. You know, the union is not as strong as it once was. And that's the problem. I mean, yeah, there are some owners, I'm sure, who are on Twitter, but, you know, they don't speak. Why would they? Why would they speak about this issue?
Donald Fair is in a baseball system that would call guys if they took less money than they thought they were entitled to under the free market system, because he thought he was doing the other players a disservice as opposed to that player being comfortable and happy where he was.
Yeah.
Let people know that.
That's right. You're right. He's not afraid to call up. I mean, no. And he understands the big picture. You know, and that's really what it boils down to. You know, yeah, you might be happy and you're taking, you know, because you want to live in that city. But Donald Fehr wasn't afraid to call you up and, you know...
Which I don't like, by the way. But they did that. I think Bob Goodenough did that to Al McInnes way back when. And Al McInnes told him to stick it.
Yeah. You know, back when he resigned in where? St. Louis.
Near the end of his career, yeah.
Well, you know, at some point in time, and I don't necessarily blame... I don't blame Al McInnes for doing that one little bit, because it's his life. He's got to live it. You know, what's he going to do? Go out and uproot his entire family for an extra $1 million when at that point in his career, that $1 million isn't as important as it may have been on his first contract or something? But, you know, as soon as you have eventually, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And, you know, it's like Jack Edwards said about, you know, once they miss their first paycheck in the beginning of October or their second paycheck at the end of October and there's no there's no money coming in. And, you know, you're on the last year of a contract and it pays you big money. We're talking about Scott Gomez or whoever else has got a big deal that they're never going to regain that money. Eventually, we talk about it on the show ad nauseum, leverage. And the players don't really have any of it.
Right. Richie, even at this point, you know, as we wait for the lockout, it's inevitable. You're starting to see that even though the players, the NHLPA is more unified than it was in 2004 when you had kind of a couple of factions in the NHLPA, right. And that's what ended up happening. They imploded. You're still seeing that players are frustrated. I mean, these guys are still, you know, human beings. They're still guys that depend on their contract, and you're seeing guys being interviewed and showing their frustration, whether it's Olli Jokinen or, you know, Lars Eller. TSN showed this nationally yesterday, saying, you know, the owners have put a gun to our head. I don't know if it was something along those lines. You're starting to see guys get frustrated because they still have to make they like their routines and they want to train and go to training camp and they're used to that. So now you're seeing guys are going to have to make the decision. Okay, what am I going to do now if there's a 2 month, 3 month lockout? Am I going to go play in the AHL and am I going to continue to play? Am I going to possibly go to Europe? So, I mean, it still affects them in more ways than just financially, but obviously financially is the big one though.
They have so much money saved up.
If you're smart.
And again, paycheck on October 15th, right?
If you use Drew's account and you're smart.
The escrow payment from October 15th.
That's right. I think it's about, what, $200,000 per player?
Around there.
That's what they've been reporting is that. So the escrow from last year gets paid back to the players in the middle of October. So, you know, and every cent of revenue that they end up getting in probably delays this by another couple weeks.
Probably so.
So, I mean, you know, if they weren't getting that money in the middle of October, you know, maybe they're a lot more. Maybe they're more interested in making that deal by the end of October. Now it could be the middle of November. Could be, you know, end of November. It just, and these deadlines, you know, they come. You know, time flies real quick.
I still think though that even though some players are going on TV and radio and saying that I think Gary Bettman could possibly prolong this for a full year, I still think the lockout is 4 to 8 weeks. Still don't think it's going to go.
I've always said
long.
4 weeks and it'll be settled by like mid-October to get ready for about Thanksgiving. I'm a little more negative about that. And remember, Al Strachan, a very respected hockey journalist, said he didn't think there'd be much of a lockout at all. more it goes on, the more I wonder this is going to go on for a lot longer. I hope not. I don't think it will, but I do have more doubt than I did 3-4 weeks ago.
Well, and it just goes back to what we said from the beginning. I mean, we know what the deal is going to look like. We know how this is going to end, or you know how the final deal is going to look. Just a matter of they refuse to get to that point before dragging us through through another work stoppage.
How many games are we going to miss is the question now. Is it going to be 10 or is it going to be 40 or what? That's the question.
Who's the agent? Scott Norton. This morning said he's an agent with, I forget which agency he's with, and he came out this morning and said he thought the lockout might be a year and a half.
A year and a half. I don't think,
first of all, I don't think that's the case, and obviously he's a biased guy because he's getting paid based on the percentage of the salary his players make that year, so obviously he's trying to throw some things out there to get the fans worried. But the problem, of course, is going to be if you lose another year, you're going to lose a significant amount of your fan base.
Well, if you're going to lose another year, you might as well just lose six teams while you're at it.
That's right.
Yeah. They should do anyways, but that's a separate issue altogether.
We've been saying that for so long now. Yeah. I mean, it's...
I know.
So it's depressing that they've let it get back to this point again. And after last time losing the whole year and every other league being able to settle it and not lose any games. NBA lost some games, but they played a 66-game season, so they lost 16 games. If the NHL loses any more than that, they've once again botched a successful campaign, and that responsibility lies at the feet of both Donald Fehr and Gary Bettman.
Let's go to break. One final segment, rapid fire. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment on this Saturday afternoon.
Rapid fire.
It's going to be great to be at the arena and training camp next week. Can't wait.
I hope you have something about Rick James in this.
I don't.
Rapid fire.
He's a super freak, though.
But it actually comes from Twitter. Somebody asked the question on Twitter.
Sure.
We've gone through a number of the players who have been sent down to the minors, to the AHL, as a result of this work stoppage. Who is your number one pick in your AHL draft?
Ooh,
just the Ice Caps or the entire league?
Just the entire league.
Interesting. I might have to take Jeff Skinner.
I'd take Nugent Hopkins over Skinner.
Really?
I would. Was it Eberle going down there, too?
Eberle's going down there, too?
Yeah, Eberle over Skinner, over Nugent Hopkins.
I'll take Principal Skinner.
Okay. Thank you. That's that was a quick one. That sort of just came to me abruptly there. I thought it was a good question to start with.
You black out there, Drew?
Yeah, a little bit.
Too much coffee. Yeah. Too much black coffee.
Exactly. That's what I drink. I like my black coffee. The ECHL's Bakersfield Condors. The ECHL's Bakersfield Condors.
Why is
have
there music
offered
on right
Justin
now?
Bieber a Condor? Tryout.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
They've they think he's,
Oh, my God.
Are you actually playing Bieber?
This is amazing.
Okay.
This is what Bieber sounds like? This sounds like a girl.
He's a girl.
You've never heard Justin Bieber, has he?
Well, not really.
Okay.
Is he still dating Jennifer Lopez?
Not Jennifer Lopez.
Selena Gomez.
Oh. Okay.
Jennifer Lopez, she's 50.
So?
According to the scouting report, the Bakersfield Condors are most interested in Bieber because of his soft hands, good skating stride, and a devastating wrist shot capable of beating NHL-caliber goaltenders.
Please tell me this is a joke.
It's all a joke, right?
This is a joke.
Publicity. They're getting we're talking about it, so the mission accomplished. They got the publicity out of it.
Where did you get this article? The Onion?
If you were Justin...
No, he was just peeling an onion.
If you were Justin Bieber, would you take them up on the contract offer?
Obviously. Get to rip it up a bit.
I don't know what to say here. I mean, after listening to that, and that is Justin Bieber,
Apparently, whenever Winnipeggers go, like we had a friend who was down.
This is just awful music.
In Brazil, and people are like, "Oh, Winnipeg, do you know Justin Bieber?" Like, no, don't.
So you would take the contract offer?
I hope we never play that again on this show.
You're flustered.
I think if they're honestly,
what song is this,
if they seriously want to offer him a contract and let him do, put a jersey on and skate around, I think he should do it. It'd be fun for the team.
He practiced with the Maple Leafs
Jets last year.
Yeah, he practiced with the Maple Leafs.
He actually practiced with them in a tryout.
No, not a tryout.
It was just for fun.
Yeah, he skated on the MTS Center
Ice. These guys really need. If you need Justin Bieber on your team, you got to reevaluate everything.
That's true.
For the record, that song was "Baby."
Oh, "Baby." Justin Bieber. I think I've heard people talking about it.
You think
that was from Remus's private collection?
Yeah,
Remus says I actually took a ride with Remus once, and he had his iPod on, and it was only said "Baby Justin Bieber." There's no other songs on there.
Just repeat.
Brent Sopel
former NHL defenseman, said this on Twitter. Chicago public school teachers, strike during this economy. Be happy you have a job in a profession you chose. Hashtag waste of time.
What?
On the,
I hadn't seen that.
On the arrogant level, where does a former professional athlete telling public school teachers to go back to work land on a 1 to 10 basis?
It's an 11.
That's like a 62.
I don't know what Brent Sopel is doing here. Teachers are... My sister's a teacher. I think teachers are underpaid. They should get paid more. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that he would say something like that. It's totally out of line, in my opinion.
Here's, you know, of course, so people responded to Sopel on Twitter, and rather than backing away or, you know, bailing out while it's still early, he decided to double down and hear the rest of his comments. All who would like to throw out the hockey comments because of my Chicago public schools teachers' comments better remember that hockey isn't funded by the taxpayers. Hashtag truth. Go ahead and hate me because I have an opinion. I donate countless hours to charity and put my money where my mouth is.
That doesn't matter.
Ridiculous.
Yes, arenas are funded with taxpayer money. Along with that, they bring jobs and revenue to the cities. Government money doesn't fund our pension.
It's shocking that a former NHL player would say that. The only guy that I think that was happy with these comments was Rahm Emanuel.
Completely ridiculous.
No, that is ridiculous. I mean, I'll say one thing. All those teachers have far more of an effect on the future of the world than Brent Sopel does.
Generally speaking, I wouldn't take on the teachers. I think that's it's a losing proposition.
Actually, when I was driving out of Chicago, they were standing, you know, over the overpasses. I was doing the honk. They wanted to honk. They said honk. I honked.
There you go.
And Richie's mom's a teacher.
That's right. You got to support. My dad's a teacher.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, we're with the teachers. Illegal Curve supports the teachers.
We're going to go honk?
I love honking. I honked at, like, numerous overpasses.
Really?
I gave the honk honk, not one honk.
Nice. The Calgary Flames canceled their charity game, or skipped their charity game on Thursday so that they could attend union meetings in New York City. How, I mean...
Can they just email them the four bullet points that Donald Fair was just saying the whole time and then gone to the charity game?
Well, I mean, you know, I know that it's all about public posturing and everything else at this point in time, but where does...
Like, do you think anybody would have noticed if, like, there was 296 players, not 304?
I think it's pretty funny that you know, members of the Winnipeg media were tweeting out what Jets were in New York. I mean, I didn't care. So the reality is that the Calgary Flames should have still contributed to this. And, you know, we don't want to throw them too much under the bus here. They screwed up. Matt Stajan, I think, came out with a comment and
they tried to backtrack the next day because, you know, it doesn't look good to skip out on charity commitments.
It was a bad move, and, you know, I guess they got to move on and hopefully not do it again.
Well, you know, it's just terrible public relations. You know, you're skipping. It's charity. You know, all people ever want is that, you know, for professional athletes, people are willing to support them. They're willing to, you know, pay their hard-earned money to see them performing in whatever sport they're playing. But they just want you to give a little bit back when you have that opportunity, and the Flames couldn't handle that.
And also, they would have probably liked to see those guys knowing that there wasn't going to be a season. So, again, hopefully you move on. It doesn't happen again.
Final question here in Rapid Fire. The New York Rangers, speaking of charity, participated in a charity dog walk. You know, little
Drew,
known
who
fact,
let your dog in?
John Tortorella is a big fan of of raising animals for the Humane Society and everything else. What punishment does John
it's
Tortorella
funny, 'cause he treats his players like animals?
What punishment does John Tortorella hand out to his animals if they don't play a defensive enough game?
I don't know what that means, but
he
probably doesn't fill their water dish full or something.
It's interesting, Drew. What would he do?
Yeah.
He'd probably yell at him like Artem Anisimov. Get back in your doghouse. But he already has a pretty full doghouse. Is there any more room?
I don't know. It depends how many dogs.
Brandon Dubinsky was in there. Anisimov, they got rid of both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, who's next? Is Michael Sauer when he gets back? Is he going to go in there? He doesn't play any of those bottom four defensemen in the playoffs.
It'll be interesting. But I do support him for supporting the dogs because, you know, I am a dog lover.
Brixton.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy. And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stink like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Quickly, cheers and jeers.
I'm going to cheer the possibility of this, you know, the NHLPA wanting a Canada-Russia series. I think that'd be awesome, and I would love to see that happen. Obviously, there are many things that need to happen for that to go through, but after watching the 87 Canada Cup this week, which is far better than watching any hockey games we've watched recently, I would be very much in favor of top talent playing against each other in a passionate environment.
I like that cheer, Richie. I'm going to have, I have two cheers. One is hockey related, one's non-hockey related. I'll go non-hockey related first. Big cheers to the Gold Eyes for winning the American Association Championship, first championship since 94.
You stole my cheer.
And, well, you can cheer them too.
I will.
And my hockey related cheer goes to Ole Jokinen. I like how he came out at the Iceplex and said that this lockout is all about the money. It's not about the game. And I respect a player coming out and saying that.
I'll wrap up Cheers and Jeers by cheering the Winnipeg Gold Eyes, like you mentioned. You can listen to the season, the Gold Eyes rap show on this station Monday afternoon, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Celebrate your American Association with 2012 champions, the Winnipeg Gold Eyes. That's it for this Saturday on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to our guests, Ed Tate of the Winnipeg Free Press and Jack Edwards of the New England Sports Network. Big thank you to our sponsors, Carbone Coal Fired Pizza, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, David Carr of Monopoly Realty, and the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And the website with all your latest Winnipeg Jets news is www.illegalcurve.com. For Richard Pollock, for Ezra Ginsberg, for Michael Remus, and for producer Tim, I'm Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.